Amen. Thank you, Miss Lisa. The cross has made a difference for us. Thank you, Brother Chris and choir congregation. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews. Who brews the coffee? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Very prominent chapter. Just want to talk about the word faith today through Hebrews chapter 11. So many ways, directions you could go in this beautiful passage, Hebrews chapter 11. We know faith is one of the most prominent words in religion. Whether it's obviously whether it's a Christian, the true religion, or whether it's even others. But the faith I'm referring to is not a religion. It's not a set of doctrines. But rather, it's our daily moment by moment commitment and trust in our God, in Jehovah, in Adonai. When our faith is put to work, when it's active, not passive, our faith is to be active, it releases God's power through us. People see Jesus in us, and that's what obviously we want to accomplish. We know from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, and I shared it with the children, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews chapter 11. So if verse 6, if you're able to, let's stand as we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, just the first verse in Hebrews. I wasn't ready. You guys ever been there? Okay, here God's word says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Father, bless your word in Christ's holy name. Amen. No matter how religious we are, without faith, again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we can't please God. When God looks at our heart, He looks for faith, is what He looks for. We can be baptized, you know this. We can go to church, we can give money, we can attend Sunday school, we can read our Bibles, fast 3 times a day, and on and on and on, sing in the choir, be a leader in the church, on and on, even a missionary. But if we don't have faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is never meant to be a one-time experience, and we understand that. I know we put a lot of emphasis, and we should, on the salvation experience. Someone is convicted, they repent and believe, saved by faith. We talk about accepting Christ, receiving Christ, which we should, trusting Christ, giving our heart to Christ. We challenge people to respond to faith in the gospel invitation, as we should. But sometimes it seems like we're guilty of, and I am too, we leave an impression that having been saved by faith, the rest of life is kind of up to us to figure it out. But that's just not so. The same faith that saves us is the same faith that carries us day to day, day by day, moment by moment. That's why the Bible says, in 2 Corinthians, the just shall live by what? Faith, doesn't it? The whole Christian life is a life of faith. And so, it's very, very significant. Let me see if I have that verse. Without faith it's impossible to please God. There's Hebrews 11, verse 6. And there's Romans. Just shall live by faith. Probably some other places kind of infer that as well. But dear brothers and sisters, we are saved by faith. We are kept by faith. We walk by faith. We endure by faith. We rejoice by faith. We serve by faith. We love by faith. We sacrifice by faith. We pray by faith. We worship by faith, and we obey by faith. Everything we do is by faith. We get married, hopefully by faith. The one we're asking God for this one, and God gives us that one. Maybe we already married, and then we ask God to make that one the right one. You and I know once you're married, that's the right one. Amen? And we even have children by faith, ladies, don't we? All that we do in this world today is, as Christians, we do by faith. And so, it begs the question, what is faith, after all? What does the Bible say about faith? What is it? The entire Bible, there's no clear instruction about what is faith, the definition or what it means than Hebrews chapter 11. Most of us know that Hebrews chapter 11 is a hall of fame of the Christian faith. All these that are come before us, by faith. It says there, we have a long list of Old Testament heroes. Most of them are introduced with that phrase, by faith. By faith Abel, verse 4. By faith Enoch. By faith Noah. By faith Abraham. By faith Isaac. By faith Jacob. By faith Joseph, verse 22. By faith Moses, verse 23. By faith Moses' parents, 23. By faith Moses, in verse 24. By faith the people, verse 29. By faith the walls of Jericho fell, verse 30. And by faith Rahab the prostitute, verse 31. And then we get down to verse 39, and we get a summary of the whole list. Look what it says in verse 39. It says, these were all commended for their faith. And so as we study the list, a few things emerge, I think, as we sort of think about this chapter and this what goes on. First of all, though they're all different, Rahab definitely different than Moses, and Moses different than Abraham, and on and on and on. They're all different, just like we're all different. They all had one common factor. They're joined by one common factor. What they did was by faith. We may all be different, but we're joined day by one common factor. What we do as believers is by faith. And so these Old Testament heroes won God's approval because they pleased God by faith. At the crucial moment in their life, whatever it was, when God was testing them, they acted in faith. Just like times in your life when you've had a crucial moment. What do I do? Do I say no? Do I say yes? Do I follow God? Do I follow the world? Do I follow? Maybe my family's trying to pull me away, and do I listen to them, or do I listen to what God's Word says? And so at that crucible moment in your life, that crucial moment, you and I are to act on faith. And that's what these people did. They all had that in common. The second thing we see, we know a little bit about the Old Testament heroes, were they didn't mind going against public opinion. Noah went against public opinion, didn't he? He built the ark. They said he was crazy. Abraham left his home, Ur, and went against public opinion. Moses left Egypt, the palace, and went against public opinion. Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho, and they shouted and the walls fell against public opinion. When you and I, brothers and sisters, decide to live by faith, it's going to go against those people around you and I, even people that are close to us, that say, you're crazy. Why are you making this decision? Why are we waiting? Why are we doing this? Because that's what living by faith is. It's making decisions that go against the flow, that go upstream sometimes. We have to stand out from the crowd sometimes, even if we have to stand alone in our own family. That's a third thing that we see, I think, from the heroes of faith are, that Hebrews chapter 11 demonstrates, while the life of faith is rare, someone living truly for faith, we know the Bible says there were a remnant in Israel, there wasn't many of them that followed God, and it's the same way today, there still are a few who do it. while they're rare, there still are a few like you, like yourself, who say, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to, you know, do what I have to do. As difficult as it is, with all the pressure of this world, with all the things that want to pull me away, there are a few just like you and a few others that are doing it, that say, I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to be a model in some way. It may not feel that way. I may not even think that way at times, but I'm still going to endure. I'm going to persevere. By faith in God, I'm going to do it. Ordinary men and women doing extraordinary things. And you know what? I think sometimes extraordinary things are just hanging in there at times. When life throws us, you know, things to not want to hang in there. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 offers us a tremendous definition of faith. I think I have it on your screen. There it is, what we just read. Look at what it says. Now, faith is, and I'm going to read another translation, then we'll go back to this one. Being sure of what we hoped for and certain of what we do not see. This is a King James. I like sometimes the picturesque rendition of sometimes, because that's how I grew up a little bit, learning Scripture through this structure. But here's what it says. I love the beauty of this verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The word substance there is an unusual word because it refers to the essential nature of things. In other words, it was sometimes referred to as a title deed. So faith is the title deed of things in the future. The title deed that you've got a mansion waiting on you. The title deed that God has saved you and you're going to meet Him face to face one day. The title deed that you're going to walk on streets of gold, that you'll never cry again, there are no more tears, that all of the beauty that God told us and promises He's given us, that you'll live forever and ever with Him, there'll be no more sin, no more death. The title deed for all of those things that you hope for. That's what faith is. So when you persevere, when you say, I'm going to get through this by faith, you're hoping, you know, it's a title deed. You're resting that God, what He said, is going to come true. It may come in the future, obviously, when you get to heaven one day. It's coming in the future. But it's a title deed for the future, things hoped for, things promised by God. And I love it says there, it's inferring there that by faith we see what otherwise are invisible, things not seen. We see things that are not seen. The world can't see these things, but by faith you and I can see them. That's why it seems strange to the world. That's why it's so foreign to them that what we're doing, we're coming and worshiping together. We're loving God together. True faith moves us to act, to do, to try, to build, to attempt, to expand, to say no to sin, to say yes to righteousness, to join, to speak out, to move forward, to dare to dream beyond, to walk around Jericho again and again until the walls fall. Let me give you a second little truth that we see, I think, that we need to explore, and that is, how does faith actually work? How is it practical? How has it worked with me? I know it. Maybe how it worked with Moses and Abraham and all of them. How does it work? Well, I think the story of Moses is one of the best examples. Look at verse 24 of chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. What a beautiful, what an incredible set of wording and passages God gives us there for you and I to hang our hats on. Notice five incredible words there, action words there. He says he refused. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused. He chose one thing over the other. He found the strength. Let me just give you these words and we'll go back to them just a little bit. He chose, he says there, chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. Chose to be mistreated because he lived by faith. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ, he says. He chose disgrace. He chose whatever, depression. He chose anxiety. He chose whatever for the sake of Christ. We don't know sometimes what's going to befall us, what's going to come upon us. Things may be going just wonderful at one time in our life, at one season. Then all of a sudden here comes another season and you have to refuse. Or another season you have to choose. Maybe even another season you have to regard disgrace. You have to put up with things that you would have never thought 10 years ago or 20 years ago that you'd have to deal with. Disgrace, he did. And then it says he persevered. He didn't give up. He said, by faith, I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to keep going because people are looking after me. I got family that's watching me. I got others that's watching me. And obviously God's watching me. I'm going to persevere. Now, is it easy to do that? If it was, we wouldn't need faith. Amen? That's why we need faith, because it's not easy. It's very difficult. And it says, he saw. What a beautiful, again, what a beautiful passage. He said no to one thing, but he chose to do something else. He found the strength to endure 40 years in the wilderness in Midian because he saw him who is invisible. That's what he says. Everything hinges on the first word. He refused. Everything hinges on our decision making. I'm just going to refuse. I'm not going to there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be with that person. I'm not going to choose that. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to do it. Everything hinges in Moses' life on that refusal. And if you and I can teach our children and grandchildren to start by refusing, then those other choices regarding persevere stuff, they can do that a little bit better by faith if they'll make that conscious choice to refuse. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This may not seem like much to you and I, but it was life-changing for Moses. He was trained to be the prince of Egypt. He was raised in the lap of luxury. He had everything he wanted at his fingertips. He was in line to become the most powerful of all of the world, perhaps, of that day. He could clap his hands, and hundreds would come running to his beckoning call. What do you want? You want food? You want me to run your water? You want me to go make you something? You want me to bring you, fetch you a chariot? What do you want? But he gave it all up. And you and I need to do that sometimes. Even it can be in a big way, like Moses, or it can be in a small way. Let it all go. It was not easy. It was not easy. It's never easy. Not in this world. Because we're sin-tainted. It's not easy. It seemed foolish. for Moses to throw all of this away. He can't take care of his family like he could. His family would have been in royalty. His children and grandchildren would have lived like kings and queens. But daddy threw it all away. Granddaddy chose another path. Seemed foolish. By any normal standard, it didn't make sense. Moses had committed career suicide. He gave up the riches of Egypt for the pleasures of and the pleasures of sin. In order, and that's what it says there in the text. It says pleasures of sin. He gave that up in order to join a bunch of crazy, strange group of Hebrews who were hated by everybody and are still hated by everybody today, aren't they? Moses found the strength to endure the persecution because of verse 27. Look what it says. He saw him who is invisible. What a beautiful statement. He saw him who is invisible. One of the most remarkable statements in all of the Old Testament. How do you see an invisible person? God is invisible, yet Moses saw him. How did he see him? Just like you and I see him. Other people say, why are you doing that? How do we see God? We see him by faith. Moses saw God by faith. People that don't have faith cannot see God. Moses had faith, and his faith gave him sight. He saw the God who is invisible. And that's what faith can do. You love Jesus and you see what you and I see what the world can't see. By faith, we can see God. Can we explain it? No, but we believe it. We know it. We know it to be true. What did Moses see? Well, the text says that he was looking ahead. That's what it says there. He was looking ahead to his reward. Moses knew that there were two worlds, and he could choose one of them, or he could choose the other one. The one world, there was Egypt, a world of power, affluence, money, fame, pleasure, military power, brute force. As far as the Egyptians knew, this was the only world. But then there was Moses struggling with what to do. What decision do I make? Just like you and I struggle with what decision do we make. What do I choose to do today? What do I choose to think about today? What do I choose to dwell on today? We all have those issues every single day. There was another world that Moses chose. He chose the invisible world. The world of the Spirit, the realm of God. The Lord Jesus, the angels, the saints. It's a world that's ruled by righteousness and by faith. Entered by grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus. And somehow Moses figured out that it wasn't worth to live in the palaces of Egypt anymore, even if it meant temporarily for 40 years or how many ever years, that's a long time it seems, suffering and putting up with a bunch of crabby old Jews for 40 years in the wilderness. For him, there was only one choice. And that's the beauty of you and I. There's really only one choice, isn't it? There's only one choice. End of the discussion. Period. He might have been a Pharaoh. So what? Moses said. He stayed in Egypt. He wouldn't have made it to Hebrews chapter 11. He wouldn't be in the heroes of faith, perhaps. And so for the people that want to make it big in Egypt, people that want to make it big in this world, go for it. Have at it. You remember we talked about in Romans chapter 1, God turns them over. God says, if this is the way you want to live, you want to live this lifestyle, you want to refuse to follow me, take it. Do what you want to do. Those people are going to have their reward one day. and it's not going to be pretty. But to choose to live by faith, we can look ahead and we can see God. That's the beauty of salvation, that you and I can look ahead. When we're making these decisions in life by faith, we can look ahead and see God. We know He's already promised these things, and so we look ahead knowing that we have a title deed to these things, and we can see God, and God's going to see you through it, or He's going to carry you through it, or He's going to be there while you're struggling through it. By faith, we can look ahead and see God. Let's pray. Father, we love You, Lord, and we thank You for Your word that teaches us to hang in there, to persevere, to live by faith when the world doesn't understand and think we're crazy, when even those sort of don't understand, even our closest friends and relatives don't understand, Lord, You understand because You know everything. And so You know us. You understand us. And so, Lord, thank You for putting up with us because You know us fully. Lord, may today, if there's something that we're hanging our hat on, if we're struggling with, if we're too anxious, we're too concerned, may we, Lord, repent of that and ask Your help. Lord, we're not perfect, so that doesn't mean that we know that, Lord, that You're not, that it may not go away, but we're recommitting to be faithful to You, Lord, to trust You. Look into the future. Seeing the invisible God that You are, Lord, by faith. Because we have the title deed to all those things that You promised. We love You, Lord. Lord, if there's one that needs to be saved today, has never repented, if they were to die today, they don't know where they're going, or they know that they're not going to make it to heaven. They're going to make it to devil's hell. May they, right where they sit, may they cry out to You to save them and trust You, Lord, with their life. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen. We'll use this invitation too, for I want you to think about the Lord's Supper is coming up. So anything you have in your life, I would say, that you say, I need to, you know, obviously the Bible says it's for Christians, for only Christians, but there may be something that you just need that you and God need to work to talk about and say, God, help me with this, forgive me of this, so that you can cleanse yourself as obviously as best you can through the forgiveness of God. So anything you feel like you need to repent of, as we have an invitation right where you are, just do that before we take the Lord's Supper.